welcome, ladies and gentlemen, into something very interesting. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's I guess doing a formal introduction. I mean, I'm obviously Jose.
Word.
My friends call me Liz.
But you gotta say your whole, like, what's wrong with you, man? You gotta say your whole government so that the world can know who you are.
This ain't on some, you know, I mean, even though the government got my name, I ain't trying to like that. But you know, Jose, my friend Liz.
This is Kevin, and this is the Human Podcast. We're coming together, share our thoughts about the world. A lot of interesting things that we experience. I think the world deserves to understand and know our experiences as two young men in the United States of America. There's a lot we got to talk about.
So we are two friends living their day-to-day lives and discussing the idiosyncrasies of their lives. This podcast hopes to bring a human organic element to the world. No clear-cut agenda, it is fluid and takes on the form of whatever events, experiences, feelings theme the weeks of these two friends.
Sir.
You know, that's as the best as we can put it. Obviously, there's fluidity in that. It can change. You know, so this podcast has been planned in the sense of like...
For a while now.
We've taken the steps to kind of lead up to here. And I got to say, I'm very proud of that, to be honest. I feel like...
Word, man. I'm so excited. I'm excited. You know, this is our first episode. I'm super excited about where we're going to go, you know, and just watching us go from having an idea and having it materialize into... what it will be in the future. It's so exciting to be a part of that. And I mentioned this earlier to you, how like, my just being me, I've been starving as a human being to like, create something, you know, and watch it grow, watch it edify. And I'm excited whether like, I see people, you know, who dabble into music and they create music, or, you know, I have a friend who cuts hair. You know, he started somewhere. And
yeah, then, I saw that on IG. Yeah,
you saw my boy, right? Like, crazy because a couple years ago, he was giving out free cuts. Now he's charging $50 for a haircut. And you can see why. You know what I mean? Exactly. So it's just something I'm excited, you know, to see where we go to in the future. And I'm excited to be doing that with you. My boy Liz, that I've been, you know, we've been boys for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm ready to go, baby. I'm ready. Start punching the bag, baby.
you know, and just to add to that, bro, I think that like there's such a true beauty to like creating something for yourself. Cause I think that like, I guess if I'm looking at it more holistically, really, in the sense of you know, it's almost like, even like, for example, like our jobs, we're working on someone else's vision in a sense. Like you work at your restaurant.
Yeah.
It's the restaurant's vision. This is the work, you know, but I feel like something you create yourself, you see its growth, it becomes, it's a part of you.
Right.
So honestly, that's why like I feel so happy, you know, going on this journey with you, just two young men growing up and really just, you know, being genuine with each other, genuine with the world. That's the aim for me. And this is like a platform that I feel like it's really gonna take off in the sense of like, it's really gonna set a precedent for people like us.
Yeah, man.
100%. And anybody that identifies with this, you know?
All right. 100%.
You know, so let's get down to business. I know that I can't.
Before you start, I'm glad we got that out the way. So just to break it down for the people who are listening, what Liz and I are going to be doing on a week-to-week basis is the following, right? Liz is going to bring a thought, an idea, something that he thought of throughout the week. Like, you know, I'm simplifying the definition that he gave earlier, pretty much, where something that he experienced throughout the week. I'm going to bring something that I experienced throughout the week that I've been thinking about. And we're going to share our thoughts on that. This podcast is completely unscripted. So we have no idea what we're going to be sharing with each other, just so we can have a more organic reaction to.
Yeah, it's like two friends catching up.
Yeah, facts. Exactly.
We just happen to be recorded, though. So,
you know what I'm saying? And put it on Spotify and Apple Music. Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere, though.
All right, bro. Let's get down to business. I just want to
actually, I'm going to hold you off on that real quick. I want to shout out a specific enterprise or business Angry Apple Lo-Fi. Obviously, lo-fi is a genre of music.
Yeah.
Still, for every college student that knows this, you know what lo-fi is, or anybody.
Right.
I've been listening to it since I was in 17? This channel that I followed since their birth, they have like 14,000 followers right now. Angry Apple Lo-Fi. Find them on Spotify, Apple Music.
Yes.
If you find them on Instagram, they have a link tree where you find all their social media and donations that you can make. They've graciously given us one of their tracks for us to use as our intro and outro.
That's the song that you'll be hearing, that you heard at the intro at this of this podcast.
Yeah, they're a great channel. They're a great business. They're great artists. I've reached out to them and they're so supportive. Yeah,
they were nothing short but spectacular in terms of how they interacted with you and how, you know, they were just gracious. They were just thankful and grateful that we wanted to use their platform. You know, and I think also I was gonna mention how like lo-fi music is mad dope, bro. Like
it is, bro.
Yo, for real. Like for real,
it's
for
chill,
real,
bro. And mad like, it gets your beat.
Yo, like when you like I like listening to jazz when I'm studying and stuff, but jazz sometimes is too quirky. It's too much.
It's too much
trumpets and it's too. The sounds are,
it's all over the place sometimes.
Yeah, they're fluctuating everywhere, and it's like I'm not really for that. So when I
lo-fi is consistent, bro.
Right, and lo-fi music is definitely consistent. That's why we loved using it for the intro and outro.
Yeah, and just again, Angry Apple Lo-Fi. Shout out to them.
X.
Dope. All right, so I feel like now.
Are you ready now?
My body is ready.
Let's get to the meat and potatoes.
All right. So I don't know if Leas told you, but I hopefully he didn't. So, you know.
I don't think he has.
All right. So a few weeks ago, I want to say the Saturday before. Right? All right. So let me preface the whole situation. Like, all right. One of my worst fears came true, bro. Like legit. All right. Everybody was fine. Everything's good.
Everyone's safe. Everyone's healthy.
Yeah, everyone's safe, healthy.
No, there's no. Okay. All right.
So I'm a paranoid person. Listen, I take care of my car. Like if anything, I see the light turns on immediately. The next day I'm at the dealership.
Right.
Servicing this car, whatever. So my grandpa came over. He's like, you know, we have to go visit his like sister. And like, all right. So his sister lives in New York. And so we're going there. I'm driving there for the day. But you know, I'm doing my thing, driving on the bike. I get to the George Washington Bridge, bro, and the middle of the bridge, bro, my car stops.
No.
My car stops, bro. Middle of the
bridge.
And imagine now. Let me give you the
Wait, what day was this?
On a Saturday. It's like
okay.
This Saturday that passed, the one that passed.
Okay. The one before, 2 weeks ago, two Saturdays ago.
Yeah, two Saturdays ago. Wow, that was easier to say. but you know, I gotta be elaborate out here. So imagine, let me give you this the whole vision right now. Imagine one of the busiest bridges in the country.
Right.
Bridges in the country. And you have four lanes being blocked because of slow the F down, bro. And I'm like, yo, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? This is why I service my car for this exact moment.
Right.
And it stops in the middle of the bridge, bro. And I'm freaking the F out. Like, and I'm scared to turn my car on, bro. I'm right. This car.
Wait. So you were just driving on the bridge?
I was driving. Yeah, I was on the, like, obviously the George Washington Bridge, the second lane to the right, so I can exit the bridge and head to the Heights.
Right.
The obviously Washington Heights, Manhattan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm there. So I'm about to switch to the other lane because it's going faster. And then my whole car stops.
It just stopped. How fast were you going?
No. I was like 10, 15 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
No traffic, thankfully. If it was going like 50.
Yeah, that'd be a problem. Right.
But then again, you know, I turn my car on and like it's weird ass sound. And I'm like, I'm scared to turn it on, bro. Because I'm like, yeah, first of all, I'm in the middle of this bridge. This car turns on fire. They're going to think something else. I don't want to say that. The word out there associated with me in any other way.
Right. But you should say the word just so we can know what you're talking about.
Terrorist, bro. I'm like, listen. Fuck, bro.
Okay.
This car turns on. I don't want them to get the impression. Like, I'm going to take this car the fuck off. I want to call 911. And, you know, they were like, yo, they were very nice. The state trooper came over. I was like, mad scared. I'm like, yo, am I going to get like fined or some shit?
Yeah.
So it was very nice, very supportive. It was like, well, what's going on? I'm like, oh, something, I feel like there's something wrong with my transmission. And I was half right. So, you know, they called the tow like within 10 minutes, bro.
The tow truck came in 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They dropped me off at the bridge because they want to get me out as soon as possible.
Right.
I called my own tow from my insurance company. And yeah. Waited like an hour and a half for a tow. Fixed it within like, it happened like around 9, 10 o'clock. And I think we were done by like 2, 3 o'clock.
Right.
Everything. So, you know, it was a scary experience, bro. I'm like, thinking like so easy afterwards. I'm like, I went and got patacón.
What the heck is that?
It's Dominicans make it, but it's like Venezuelan food too, where it's like the fried plantains and then like a fried plantain show.
Yeah.
The chicken, the tomato, lettuce, cheese on
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mayo,
yeah,
and then put another plátano.
Yeah. Mad heart disease. Yeah, I heard about that.
My treñimiento, bro. But yeah, but that was an experience. Damn.
Yo, and you know, I was thinking, I was surprised. I'm surprised that they actually came fast, but then I realized, well, you was blocking the whole bridge.
That's what you said. You
need to get out of there as soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah, like because they have like their own, like, I don't know if you caught that little subtle. That's what she said to that, but yeah. By the way, guys, we are probably one of the biggest Office fans. I know. This is an understatement, probably, because we put in lines everywhere, left and right. But yeah, they got like their own like tow trucks, like right on the bridge, like right off.
Oh, okay.
Just pull up to it.
I'm not a driver. I have my license, but I barely drive, so I don't know. I don't know about this driving life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, and listen, that was an experience for me. So if you ever get stuck in a bridge or anybody, just shoot us an email or me a text.
Damn, bro. So then you went to go get patacón. You went to go get heart disease. And
yeah, bro, that's slap, bro. That's slap. Heavy. And then, you know, I don't want to sound like que tu segunda encara is a good deed.
Yeah. It's
like, for any non-English, any non-Spanish speakers, like, I forgot the word for it, but I don't know. You know how to say it? Sacando en cara, like in English?
Sacando en cara.
Yeah, it's como que yo te doy algo y I give you something, and then forgetting the word. I know the word, but I'm forgetting the word. It's like, I give you something, and then I go tell the people off, like, oh, yeah, like, I maybe pretentious. Anyways,
I don't know, bro.
All right, fuck it. It was a solid day for me.
I don't know if I was going to bring something else to the table, but it's, now that you brought that, I have a similar story, actually. I don't know if I've ever told you, but all right. So I went to Houston, right?
Oh, you told, sorry. No, go ahead. That's that thing, the diesel shit?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So this is not for Liz. This is for the listeners. I went to, and all my closest friends know this story already. So I was talking to this girl and she lived in Houston. And so I have family in Houston. So my mom, you know, one day she was like, oh, we're going to go to Houston next month. So I was like, I was hyped because I didn't know when I was going to see this girl from Houston. Like, she was one of my boy's sisters. So I was like, I'm, you know, we out to Houston. Like, I'm going to go, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a chill with Shorty and it's going to be lit. Like, you already know what's going to happen. I don't have to say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm pull up. It's going to be lit. All right. Right. So I was beasting. I'm not going to lie. We get to Houston at like 1 a.m. And we get to my aunt's house. We chilling, we eating, we drinking, whatever. Like around 3. I told my cousin, I was like, yo, I want to go see, it's 3 a.m. I was like, yo, I want to go see this girl. Can I take your car? And she was like, yeah, take it. Just make sure you be back by like 7 or 8, because I got class at 9. So I was like, all right, bet, I got you. And she was like, and also go to the gas station and put gas in my car, because I have no gas. So I was like, all right, bet. So I go, mind you, it's like 3:30 in the morning. I'm in, and they live in the hood in Houston. Like, this is the hood, right? So the first thing, I get in the car, I look for the nearest gas station. It's like half a mile away. I was like, all right, I'll make it. I got there. The gas station is mad huge, bro. It's like, It's a gigantic gas station. They have a bunch of like 30 pumps. It's mad huge.
Is it like self fill or is it somebody fills it up?
Self fill. It was self fill. The thing is, it was so late at night. So the gas station was empty. There were some Mexicans that were like in the other portion of the gas station. And then I put my card in to pay for the, you know, like I told you earlier, I'm not a driver. So I didn't know how to freaking open the gas tank. I didn't know how to
do any
of that. Like I was calling my cousin, like panicking, like, how do you open the gas tank? She's like, you got to pull the lever right here. And I'm like, I don't know where the lever is. Can you? And
then where's the lever?
She was like, the lever's right here. I'm like, I pull the lever, whatever. I put my card in to pay. My card wasn't working because I just landed in Houston. So Citibank was like, nah, this is not Kevin Houston. Like, he never buys
Kevin
gas
Tellis.
In Houston. Like, you know what I mean?
Kevin, you ain't smart.
I hope y'all didn't hear that. All right. So I go. My card didn't work. Thankfully, I had like $80 in cash. So I went to the teller. I was like, hey, can I get regular gas for pump 17? And he's like, all right. I go to pump 17, I pull out the regular gas, the gas not coming out. And mind you, I'm still panicking because it's mad late at night. It's a hood in Houston. And I'm just like, I'm trying to like just get out of here and go to this girl's crib. And this girl's crib is a 30-minute drive. And for me, I don't know. It felt like it was a long time. That's a long time. That's a long time to drive, right? To go
to
Houston and it's empty. It's 4 a.m. It's 3 a.m.
I don't know anything about the place.
So I put the nozzle into the tank. It wasn't coming out. So then I went, instead of regular, the one behind regular, the weaker one. What's that one called?
There isn't a weaker one after regular.
Oh, for real? All right. So see, that's how much I know about gas and cars. See, there you go.
Well, there's the normally like the green little gun, whatever. It's
right.
It's diesel.
Right. So I went up and none of them were working. Like none of the regular gases were working. So I pulled the last nozzle and I put it in and it was like I pressed the button and gas was coming out. So I was like, yeah, like I'm lit. Like you feel me? I'm like, yeah, baby. All right. So I'm pouring the gas in the car, close the, you know, like an expert. I closed the gas tank. You know what I'm saying? I put the nozzle back for me. And then I closed the car.
It's like a full-fledged adult right now.
What happened?
You feel like a full-fledged adult.
Exactly. You know, I'm feeling myself. I'm like, oh, I got this.
I'm in this, bro.
I'm out here. You know, I pull off. I leave the gas station. Then I go. I'm on the highway, right? And I'm going like maybe like 60. And like all of a sudden, the car just starts. Like it just starts making very scary sounds. And I'm like, and the car starts slowing down. This is 5 minutes into me after leaving the gas station, by the way.
Oh, shit.
So then I'm like, I'm going and then I'm thinking, cause I'm going up a hill and like, you know, the highway is going upward. So I'm thinking, maybe it's because I'm going up, it's slowing down.
So I literally put
the pedal on the floor. Like I'm like pressing that joint OD and it's going even slower. So I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And then like, after I'm suddenly capturing everything at once, I'm realizing everything. Mm-hmm. I look around and all of the dash lights, like the engine, the check engine
light
on, everything turns on the dash light. It just starts turning on like,
bro, at 3 a.m. Imagine seeing all that.
Yo, I was petrified, bro, and I'm not even in my own state. Like this is not my car, bro. You know what I mean? So yeah, I thankfully there was a little space in the middle of the highway where I was able to like park or at least I don't know,
like the shoulders, like, right? Yeah. Parking.
Yeah. And I got there and it was the most horrifying experience. I had to like, these cars were going like 80 past me, like vroom, vroom, vroom. I had to call my aunt and it was embarrassing because of the time. And then I had to admit where I was going and what I was going to do. I didn't admit it, but they were like, we know what she was about to do. And it was embarrassing. Like I had to talk to my uncle and apologize. And I had to pay. I spent like $1,500 getting that car fixed, getting my cousin a rental just to get some ass, bro. And it wasn't even like I didn't. And I ended up getting nothing. Like I didn't. And I didn't even, yo, it was bad, bro. It was very humbling.
It is, bro. It was crazy. It's crazy how like the brain and like the human emotion is so fragile, bro, that we try to come up with the most like elaborate justifications for the situations. Like when you were mentioning like the car going like uphill on the highway, and you like, yeah, it's slowing down because we're going uphill. it's like you trying to save yourself. You're like, yeah, like it's not breaking down. Like it's just me driving uphill. You know, cars slow down.
Yo, and to go deeper into that, like when I saw the lights, like the dash lights, like the check engine light, and all that turned on, I was like, yo, why would my? I started asking myself, like, why would my cousin let me drive a car that she messed up? Like, I started blaming her. I thought it was her fault. Like, I was like, why would she let me borrow a messed up car? Like, that's mad messed up. And now I'm scared now. So I started, but then, because it was a brand new car, it was a 2017. That was 2017. And it was a 2017 Toyota Camry. So it was brand new. There was nothing wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it was
an experience, bro.
Very humbling experience. It was fun. So I kind of felt what you felt when you was on that George Washington, bro. Like, mad scary, bro. But at least I was by myself, you know? Like, I didn't put anybody else in danger, you know? I mean, you didn't do it purposely. But you were with your family. So
yeah, and it's like you said, it's easier to deal with it by yourself than with other people. Because then you got to check yourself, and then you got to, like, make sure everybody's fine while you deal with everything. So.
Right.
And, you know, it was an experience, bro. And, like, it's crazy because, like, normally on the highway, I'd be driving, like, 85, 80, sometimes 90. I'm that person, bro.
Right
back home, I'm driving on the right lane, going, like, 65, making them do nothing. So, it's an experience, bro.
Yo, it's an experience, man. And it was very humbling. And, like, I don't like driving people's cars unless they beg me to. Like, unless somebody's like, please drive my car, I'm not going to take your car. I'm sorry. I'm done. That's it. Unless I get my own car, I'm not driving a car. Unless you beg me, please drive my car.
In my Dodge. My Dodge Patas.
Yo, you were cloud, Liz.
Yo. But yeah, man, what else has been going on with you?
All right. So I think this is going to be a very dicey subject. I think it's... But it's something that I just want to talk about. You know, I'm not sure if I have a stance on it, but I'm curious what you think. So, like, there's this whole craze going on with, have you seen the new show with Meg Thee Stallion and
WAP?
Yeah, WAP.
Like, no, I mean, I haven't seen the video because I think I saw a video of like Cardi saying that like, oh, the censored version is the uncensored is not on YouTube, whatever, but the censored version is there on YouTube. And basically then I saw like, you guys know, I follow this magazine called Complex.
Yeah.
I fucking love that magazine.
Word.
But they said that they posted a petition to get Kylie Jenner out of the video or whatever.
Like, yeah. That was so weird to me, man. I didn't understand that. All right, we're not going to get into that, but I thought it was super weird to have it. Watch the video after this podcast, bro, because she's in the video, and I'm like, why?
They're saying that there's over, like, 50,000 signatures on that shit.
Yeah. I think people should use their signatures for something else that's more important. Like, it's their creative thought process. They decided as a creative to put Kylie Jenner. To me, I didn't like it. It was untasteful. Like, it was just, but I digress. That's not the part I want to dive into. But there's a lot of talk about that video because, you know, it's like hypersexualizing women, right?
This
video is, Liz, when you listen to it, bro, it is extremely vulgar, right? It is what you would expect a Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B song. Cardi B to sound like, right?
You know
what I mean? It's exactly what you would expect them to say, right? A lot of conversation about vagina and how moist it is and how they ride penis and how they satisfy their man and how their man satisfies them.
Yeah.
All the different ways in which satisfaction is achieved sexually between both. And so there's a lot of conversation about that because, you know, I've always thought we're two young men who are in the midst of dating, right? We're like, we're dating. And then now we have, you know, one foot in, one foot out, whatever the case may be. But I want to ask you, like, cause I like this conversation of people saying like, oh, you know, what they're doing is hypersexualizing women. And this whole women empowerment movement going on, obviously, you know what I mean? And like, sometimes I ask myself like how, and I'm a man, so I don't know what exactly where my voice fits in all of this, but these are just curiosities that are in my mind. So I asked like, you know, if you do carry yourself in a way in which these characters are carrying themselves in the music industry, would you be successful in a marriage? Could you be successful as a wife if you carry yourself in that manner? You know, and I'm just asking questions. I'm not saying that you can't, you know what I mean? I'm just asking questions. Can you be successful being a wife and carrying yourself in that manner? We've seen like how, you know, what's her name? Cardi B. Cardi B is married, right? Or is she just going out?
She married.
Okay. All right. So, you know,
they're going out, but I know they're committed to each other. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they're committed to each other.
I don't, honestly, I think that I get what you're, and correct me if I'm wrong, I get what you're, honestly, I really have no judgments about it. I think that one, as a guy, we don't get to really make rules about how women should express themselves. But I think everyone's going to have an opinion depending on what angle you're looking at this. Like an ultra conservative person can say like, this is wrong, this is bad, this is whatever it is, this is going to be wrong in their eyes.
Yeah.
For example, like some might even make the argument that like men talk about their...
Go ahead, my fault.
That men talk about fucking a girl or this, that, and the third. And you know, but why can't women talk about that? You know, like,
right.
I was watching this comedian, Michelle Wolf. She did White House Correspondents' Dinner 1 year, and she like went in on everybody, and they're like, you guys called the wrong person to do a White House person,
right?
Roasted everybody. But she was talking about that, how like some even women or people just pick on her for being too vulgar, and it's like, yeah, but some guys be talking about like fucking a girl or doing this, that, and
yeah, you know what,
and like that's why can't women do that, you know? And like it was, and then I remember seeing something on Instagram that said that there was this like F teacher or this teacher in general who was an underwear model or assistant teacher, and like they got her fired. And then there was this guy, I mean, mind you, I don't know if it's real, but it seemed real to me. So there might be credible news, or it's incredible, not credible. But then this guy, teacher guy, math teacher, good looking guy, got an Armani like gig.
Right.
And quit teaching math. So you get me? So there is a double standard. I think whoever is looking at it through their perspective and their scope, they're going to have judgments about it. I think it's a matter of that. I think it's, for example, like some people might see them as too vulgar, but then again, like, and I guess to take on your other question with like marriage and all that, I think it matters. Like a marriage can work because obviously you got to find somebody that matches your energy.
Right.
So, like, that's why, like, for example, Offset and Cardi work, because Offset knows who Cardi is and vice versa. Like,
right.
We're gonna accept each other. I think the reason I feel like a lot of the unjust feelings that come arise is because sometimes for some people, like maybe their behaviors kind of go against
what they believe. Yeah.
What they believe in. And they're like, yeah, how can you make a marriage work?
Right.
I'm applying that with you, but I'm saying, you know, maybe that's a question that might pop up, but I think it's all a matter of perspective. I feel like at the end of the day, someone's going to have an opinion on it. Like, you know, some songs are dead ass like too vulgar. Like sometimes like about like lyrics. Let me hear about your game. Like sometimes like Get Up 8 by Cardi B is one of my favorite songs from her. You're like, yo, Jim running to that song. And it's like, I'll be taking my little stroll. And then when like the music switches up and she just starts going in, yo, I'd be running like crazy. Cause yo, she goes in on that
word, right?
Yeah, bars in that song, bro.
Word.
Get up 10. She had bars in that.
Oh, yeah. That's my song. I got that on my workout playlist, too.
Yo.
Yeah, she goes in. Yeah, that song is fire. I like that song. Yo,
Yo, when she said, was it bitches like my pussy, bitches mad tight, some shit like that.
Yo, Cardi got bars, bro.
She does, bro. She does.
1,000.
Nah. Hold on. Do you think that she deserved that Grammy when she was up against Astroworld, when she was up against,
I wanted Astroworld to win, but
honestly, I don't think Cardi bodied her album, but I don't think it was deserving of a Grammy. I think there were far superior albums at that time that really
far superior, far superior,
far superior, but were like, okay, like all these other artists like had set a precedence for like their music. Cardi had just started out. That was her first album. Like there were other people that really like set themselves up for a Grammy.
That's a good point, but I think she was just too big of an artist at the time. Like she was going nuts, man. She had to win. Like she was too big of an artist that year. Like, you know,
what was the name of her album?
Good question.
Yeah, Cardi B album. I mean, she did blow up, bro. But are we saying popularity and album sales?
I mean, that's usually how they give awards out anyway. Why do you think Drake gets all these awards? His music don't be slapping like it used to, but he gets all the awards because he's popular.
You're right. But then again, so then the standard's off. So then anybody can get a Grammy.
Yeah. Didn't Lil Nas X get a Grammy? He did.
Yeah, for that one song, yeah.
Exactly. For that one song.
Invasion of Privacy.
Invasion of Privacy. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lil Nas X. Man, he has one song. Mad Grammys, bro.
You went like quadruple platinum.
That's what I'm saying. It's all about popularity. That's how you win these awards, man. Now, but going back to what you're saying, I think you're right. I think there is a double standard in terms of like, because one of my favorite songs is Safaera by Bad Bunny. You know that song?
Yeah.
And that song is the literal epitome of vulgar. It is the most disgusting song. That is so funny.
Yo, it's vulgar, bro. I was like, it's
mad vulgar, bro. But I don't have, and like, naturally, I didn't have any questions about marriage when it came to Bad Bunny. I'm like, will he be a successful husband? So I guess, yeah, you're right. Like, there definitely exists a double standard in which I've participated in. And I was just, you know, that's why I like to ask questions so that I can.
Yeah, but it's like, I think you shouldn't. And I feel like that's why, and this is a little side tangent, like you shouldn't feel bad about that if you are feeling bad, just because I don't know why. Okay, I'm glad. I'm not feeling bad. Okay, I'm glad you're not, because like, people feel bad sometimes for like being wrong and not knowing. I'm like, you're not born into this world knowing everything. I understand. That's what you said. If you ask questions, you feel like, you know, you understand it and now you know better.
Right.
So I sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to make sure that you were good on that.
Yeah. Like, no, but that's why it's important. And I think you mentioned that last time when we had our meeting last week. Like, you know, sometimes you're excited about learning something new. And that's, you know, I'm just curious. I'm not a woman. I don't know. I know that the patriarchy exists for a long time, and there's a lot of double standards, yeah. How women are treated, how women are chastised, you know, how they're viewed different or perceived differently. But yeah, I guess I participated in that a little bit, and you know, the song slaps though. I tell you that.
It slaps. I'm gonna listen to it.
That song slaps. Yo, and I'm not gonna lie, bro. Yo, all right, this is for the listeners right here. Yo, me and Liz have the biggest crush on Meg Thee Stallion, son.
Meg the Liz, bro. baby.
Yo. And I think it's more, it's geared towards more, she's geared more towards Liz because Liz loves tall women. And I didn't realize how tall Meg Thee Stallion was until.
She's an Amazon. That's oof.
Facts.
Beautiful woman, bro.
Yo, I would love to see her in person, bro.
Yeah. Yo, you seen her without makeup? She looks the same, bro. She's gorgeous. For real? She posted a video. Yo, honestly, I feel like she has a dope ass personality. Like she's just dope.
I think so too. Like she likes playing video games and eating chips and just like watching basketball. Right? Like, yeah, like she looked like that type of person. Right. Facts.
I mean, honestly, if I did a show where I would be like, yo, what were you doing with G-Eazy? Like what?
They was just posting on the gram. They wasn't doing all that extra stuff.
She did as a green friend to sucker cheek, bro. Like
he's a weirdo, man. That guy is but what do you expect, man? Do you see you see how he looks, man?
Yeah.
This guy is, what do you expect, bro? I also ran into this post that I wanted to share with you because I didn't know what to make of it. This post was written by a man called 19 Keys. He's like a, I don't want to call him an activist, but he's like an activist. And he posted this on Twitter. He said, the silent reaction to sex trafficking is because of the normalization that sex sells.
Yeah.
And I was like, I posted it on my Instagram story, but then I took it down because I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I felt like it was irresponsible to post something that I wasn't willing to defend wholeheartedly. Like I wasn't sure of what he was saying. And I was going back and forth with the tweet. And I think what I believe he's saying is that the uproar about sex trafficking, there's not enough uproar. And that stems from
sex normalized.
Sex is so normalized that it's not a surprise that people are paying for bodies to be used sexually. You know what I mean? And so I wasn't sure if he was, that post was kind of to antagonize sex trafficking, to talk about he's against sex trafficking, or is he talking about the normalization of sex in society, or what he was intending to do with the tweet. I wasn't sure about it. And that's why I felt irresponsible posting it, because I was like, I don't know exactly what he's saying. It sounds like he's just saying things like, it feels obscure, like he's just saying stuff in the air.
Yeah, like you can take on whatever meaning.
Right. Yes. It sounds like you can interpret it any which way, which isn't good, because we're completely, everyone should be completely against sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And the normalization of sex, I guess, is just for people to deal with on their own, on their personal, you know what I mean? On their own personal life, how they want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I'm not, to be honest with you, like, I'm not, I understand that it exists and it really affects a lot of people, and specifically women. But I do, like, see that, like, it doesn't get that much coverage on the media.
Right.
But that, like, I don't know. I think I see what you mean. Like, I really have to be more honest to really get
right. Could it possibly be that maybe women are so underrepresented? They're so like we mentioned earlier, there's such a double standard. It seems like society, and I'm pretty sure that the women that are getting attacked, or that are the majority of women that are getting sex trafficked are probably women of color, most likely. Those are the ones that are getting targeted the most. I haven't done the research to know. But could it be possible that the silence, it stems from the fact that women aren't really viewed as, or deemed as important, you know?
I don't necessarily want to discredit the people that are actually, not discredit, but kind of in a way, not shed a spotlight on the people that are actually, pushing, fighting the good fight to kind of put an end to this, because I feel like there is a movement behind all of this.
Right.
I feel like there is, but the only difference is, I don't know, maybe I'm going to get a little conspiracist, a little like about this, but I feel like obviously what the media and what all these mediums of news and platforms that kind of expose you to the news that you see, they're in a way, like, they give a spotlight to a whole new different things, right? Whatever you see, like, that's what the algorithm kind of gears you to those things. So I feel like if...
Wait. But who, when you say algorithm, who are you...
Like, for example, like, and let's stick to this first, like, all these big news companies, right?
Right.
Like, one, like, that's, you have to, I feel like, in my opinion, you have to understand the different levels and thresholds of exposure you have to whatever issues are happening systematically or around the world, whatever it is. If you're not exposed to it, what is your main source of news, for example? Like, for some people, it's scrolling through Instagram.
I was just about to say that.
Instagram. For some people, it's, like, getting headlines from your like, local news app, or your news app or whatever, right? So, like, if you're not being exposed to it, how can you begin to formulate a movement for it? there could be like a silent movement for it. And the reason why I say silent is because it's not getting enough coverage. It's silent. But there are people that are actually moving. And I think it is a matter of exposure and what these news companies or platforms or whatever it is choose to give a light to, right? Because,
right,
you know, like, I don't really know how to like properly formulate it. But for example, like if there are things, for example, with Instagram, like when you like certain things for me, like, not for me, but like if I like certain things or you've liked certain things, Instagram will begin to kind of formulate things that surround those likes.
Right.
Whatever you like, whatever you liked, and it'll start showing you information like that.
Right.
And then it'll tailor it
on your explorer page.
On your explorer page. So that's how you're exposed to a biased form of information, in my opinion.
Right. And you won't be exposed to any like sex trafficking stuff or any domestic violence stuff or things of that nature.
Yeah. Like how I knew that I forgot her name, but it was this girl that she was in the army and she like disappeared.
Oh, yeah. I remember Vanessa.
And I didn't know anything about that girl till a friend of ours posted it. And right. I'm reading about it, and I'm like, oh, this girl's been lost for forever, and nobody's being held accountable. I think also, in I guess this might be the conspiracy side of me, but I feel like also those in power don't give a light to it.
That's what I was gonna mention that, because you said, right, that's why I asked you what algorithm are you referring to. And the thing with exposure, right? So I was I'm gonna try to make this short, but I was my parents watch Univision, Telemundo, right? And these news sources, when Black Lives Matter was at its I guess I want to say in its peak, when, you know, those couple of weeks where everybody in the world was protesting.
Yeah, I remember that.
And chanting Black Lives Matter. A lot of the majority of the content that they were putting out was about the looters.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because that was a small percentage of the people. A small percentage of the people who were protesting were looters, right? And that's what the majority of the things that they were covering. Like, oh, look at these looters. They're in Fifth Avenue. They're breaking down these windows. And it create like a shockwave throughout the whole city. Every store in Manhattan was covering their windows with wooden panels and everything, despite them being the minority, right? And a lot of these people who were starting this in other cities as well were white, you know what I mean? And black people were getting pinned on that, you know, they were being accused of all of that. So what I'm trying to say with that is that these news sources, these huge news sources who have a lot of influence within the Black community, within the white Hispanic community, they, in a 30-minute segment, they have to decide what in the world is the most important news that we need to bring to the community. And I was just so curious. Like I was just thinking on how these news sources are constantly putting out information that doesn't really affect me. You know what I mean? Like they put out segments about, like, I don't know. They put out a segment about a guy getting shot in Brooklyn. I live in the Bronx. I don't care about a guy getting shot in Brooklyn. It sounds cold. I understand it. But like, there's news that actually affects me. Like there's news. Like, how come I don't know anything about my senators? How come, you know, I mean, there's the information is out there, but what I'm saying is these news outlets decide what to push out. You know, that influences the
community. What you should react to rather than
Right. Of
creating your own opinion about it.
They're just pushing these stories on us, you know, about who got robbed and all this negativity and creating anxiety within our own communities and just putting out negative stuff. And I don't think that's necessary for news, because there's so much news going on. There's an entire world going on. There's wars happening. There's people dying. There's women being trafficked. There's people getting raped. There's all these things, kids getting molested. These kids in the border that are being, you know, that are trapped in cages without food. They're separated from their families for a long time. And we're not being showed this, but instead you're showing me that this new smoothie spot opened up like in freaking Queens. I don't understand.
Do you feel like sometimes, like now, and I feel like that's where society is shifting to right now, where it's more like, it's more meant to like shock and awe rather than show you the hard facts.
Yes.
It's yes, more like to give you, to elicit an emotion for you, like to elicit like an, a passionate emotion, almost like, yeah, I fucking hate that, or this, that, and third, this is so wrong. You know, like it's meant more to shock and awe. It's more dramatic rather than it would be like hard facts.
There's a segment on television.
Have you noticed the music that they play in the news? Like whenever, yeah. You know, like,
oh, breaking news. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Complete nonsense.
Even on Instagram, when you see like posts, like people posting, like they'll put like these like music and it's almost like stir emotion within you.
Right.
Get it to a degree, it's useful depending if you want to send your message clear. But I don't know. I feel like it really takes away from some of like really understanding some things holistically, because you act more on impulse and emotion rather than logic and understanding. And you know, I don't know. And while you were saying that, it made me think of like, I forgot where I saw this, and I want to give credit to it because I feel like it was such a nice quote. But it said, you know, like, what you think is what society taught you, and what you do is what you learn.
Right.
So
that's what they influence you to do.
Yeah, and then what you do is what you learn and you see with your own eyes.
Right.
But it's, oh man, it's very draining, bro.
It's exhausting, man, and it's like that's why I like having my news source be like Twitter or Instagram, just because a lot of the posts that are put up
by people,
are people who are actually experiencing, you know, because I can have a news reporter be in the same protest as one of my friends that was there, and the news reporter can have a completely biased opinion about what's going on. And so,
in a way, you're giving a script of what you can say or can't say.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And then it completely influences you. And then you start complaining about looters instead of talking about George Floyd and making sure that or Breonna Taylor and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you start shifting.
You know what's crazy? Mindset. Just to kind of shed a light on that, like, I don't know if some Latinos listening to this that were parents that watched Univision or Telemundo, but like, they're like, it's subtle for like the old generation to see, but like, they're very biased and racist in their news, and they're very, I don't know if you, how do I put it, they're very like, they aspire to like the fiction part of the news. And this is what I'm going to say, sounds very abstract, but I remember one day, like, I guess cultish in a way, it sounds like that to me, where like, I remember seeing like, I think it was on Univision with Barbara Bermudo, where I think
sounds mad familiar.
right. Where she was like, there's some woman in like Mexico or whatever, or it was in Mexico or like, I forgot what country, Guatemala, I forgot what the country was, but I won't say it was Mexico. Pero, and they were like, so saying that the woman like cried tears of blood, and she was possessed by the Virgin or something. Like, is that really worthy news? And is that, because they aspire more to like the, you know how Latinos be with like religion and like having a little altar to the Virgin, where, and like they give news like that, and it's like, it's very biased, and it aspires to your impulses and almost to the condition inter-racism between Latino cultures.
Facts.
I mean, this is a whole nother conversation for me.
It is a whole nother episode.
But you know, it's like, that's Latino news is very biased, and it fucks it up in a way, and like, it almost makes it our responsibility. No, it makes it our responsibility to teach our parents the whole news rather than a biased version of it. Because I feel like I've had those conversations with my mom too, where it's like, yo, it's not just about that. It's like there's a whole movement going on with Black Lives Matter, with everything. Like, you gotta open your eyes. You gotta, you know, educate yourself. And I told her, like, you just can't like be based off in one place.
I had that conversation with my mom too, and I told her that I hate Univision because you barely see any Black faces on any of their shows, not just news, but comedy shows, you know, whatever shows they have on, you know, any sports channels that they have, you're not gonna see any Black faces on there, not one.
It's
very unfortunate, and it's been like that for years. The people who have the highest rated shows, they're the one, they look white and stuff like that. So it's just you know, it's sad because it's been like, and if you I don't know if you've ever watched a novela before, but all the characters and all the novelas
I have.
Yeah, bro, they, They're all white. They all have European beauty standards, bro. From top to bottom, son. And if they do have a black character, it's going to be like the help. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's so raw. And it's so unspoken.
Right.
It's like, yo.
It's like accepted. It's like, all right.
Well, yeah. Do you feel like that's really representative of the population that fucking watches you? Right. Not the slightest.
Right.
And it's wild, man. And I feel like it takes so many years of conditioning yourself out of that. And I feel like it goes back to when we had one of our previous meetings, where it almost, you have to rewrite the DNA of everything you've been taught.
Yes.
And I take a more holistic, a more objective approach, and a much more empathetic approach to things. Because, yo, like, it's crazy just how much you gotta, like, if you don't make the
concerted effort.
Yeah. And the willingness to be open to
a
different point of view and seeing how that can change you or how it can inform you. Like, if you make yourself open to that, then you're gonna stay ignorant forever.
Word, man. And that's no bueno. We don't want to be ignorant.
You don't ever want to be in a room where everybody agrees with you, because that'll really suck.
Oh, that's a fact, man. That's a scary thing.
You know what I mean? Sometimes we can have like a respectful convo. We talk about this and we respect each other at the end of the day. This, you know, us having different points of views. Not, I mean, you and I can have, but meaning I meant more the general audience or anybody
Right.
I feel like we're pretty similar in our views, but. You know, but like, you know, respecting each other and having a conversation, that's really how you can really get to a place where you understand and potentially create. It's almost like a diathesis, the best of the two, and creating something better.
And I, all right, this is going to be my last thought.
Yeah.
So there was a post on, do you follow Baller Alert on Instagram?
Baller Alert? No. Yeah.
All right. So this guy who went, he's a white guy. He went to the most racist town in America. It's some town in Arkansas. It's like, it's literally like the, where they have the headquarters of the KKK.
Oh, right? Shit.
And so.
Oh, no. It wasn't. I think it was by here. No, it was by like in Maryland or some shit like that.
Nah, it was in Arkansas. I know it was in Arkansas. It was in Arkansas.
I think I know what you're mentioning. I obviously think I'm wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't, the video wasn't just on Baller Alert. It went viral.
Yeah.
Because the guy, it was one guy and it was two men. One guy was holding the sign. The other guy was just recording him and recording people's reactions. And he was just he was standing by like a Walmart exit, and people were just cursing him out. He's a white guy, right? So he was like, oh, like you're fucking white. Like, why would you say that? Like, and there was one guy who was like, I'll be back in 10 minutes. You better leave in 10 minutes. Like, I'll be back in 10 minutes and you better not.
I'm sorry, what was he holding? Like a black.
He was wearing a black. He had a Black Lives Matter sign.
Okay.
He was just holding it up. He wasn't bothering anybody. He was just holding it up. And like, you can see like the amount of cars that come and stop by like, yo, were you dumb? White power, people like white power, like, you know, all lives matter, like all this stuff. And I just, it was interesting to me because I was thinking to myself how, because you mentioned like you never want to be in the same room with the people who think like you. And I think that town in Arkansas is a perfect example of people who have the same mindset, the same ideals, who have never experienced having an interpersonal relationship with anyone else that isn't white. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or anyone that isn't white. So, and I'm pretty sure it's a small town, probably like 15,000 people maybe. And so everyone in that town looks like each other. They all have the same ideals. They walk into a Walmart, everyone's white. The people working there are white. They walk into a Pizza Hut, everyone's white. They go to church, everybody's white. They go to the gas station, everybody's white. And everyone has these same ideals. They don't get any exposure to anyone else, right? So, of course, this is where in towns like these across America, I was thinking to myself, like, it makes sense that in towns like these is where racism thrives, because there's no one challenging their ideals, their mindsets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've seen, you know, when, like, right after George Floyd passed away, there was a lot of people who posted about learning about their privilege and learning about who they became just by moving to the Bronx. I mean, to New York, right? Because if you're from a small town in freaking North Dakota, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then you move, and where everyone is white, right? Everybody in North Dakota is white. Let's just assume everybody in North Dakota is white, right? Let's just say it, right? Everybody in North Dakota is white, right? Yeah. And then you move to the Heights, or you move to Brooklyn, and then you walk by.
You're getting an influx of like
so OD, a mean culture shock, bro. Like just going to the train station, you walking by a Baptist church, you're gonna walk by a freaking Mexican restaurant. You're gonna you go to the deli. The deli guy is from Yemen. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? And you start creating these relationships with different types of people. So you start creating or having empathy for people like that.
Yeah. Yo, honestly, bro, I'm so glad you brought that up, man. Just because it's like, I feel like I'm beginning to learn, at least grasp the concept of, not grasp, I'm sorry, this is the wrong, I understand just how important empathy is. But I didn't think about it more in the terms of how it can be applied to really solve a lot of the issues that are going on in this country. But I'm going to put a pause on that just because I want to say to you and everyone listening that I'm so grateful to, one, grew up in New York. Like, New York is the place that saw me grow up, my birth, everything, yo, because you are exposed to so much. Listen, I grew up with I had white neighbors. I had, and that I would literally, her name's Diana. And she would take me out to, she had like a little interior design type of thing. And she would like take me out to work with her and like a lot of things. And she's great. She's an anthropologist and she does like a bunch of stuff. Like she's really
nice
stuff. She recommended books. And then I have like, a Puerto Rican neighbor who like will take me out on everything. We would go and hang out. And then like, obviously being exposed to like a lot of the Dominican culture in the Heights, because that's mainly predominantly Dominicans.
Of course.
A little bit of a bone to pick because it's getting heavily gentrified, you know, but that's a story for another time. I'm hurting from my hood. I'm hurting.
Back.
You know, I had a bodega, a man from Yemen who deadass like saw me grow up. I was like a little 11-year-old kid and I would go over his store every day.
Facts. That's knock right there, baby.
Yo, and I was like, yo, I would be like, yo, he told me so much. He told me shakran. Like that would be like shakran. Thank you, shakran. You know, and like being exposed, he's like, yeah, I've seen you grow up to be such a young man. Like you saw me as, he's like, I remember I saw you as a little kid. I mean, he sold the store and I don't even know where he is now. But,
oh man, that sucks.
But you know, he's like, yeah, I remember you was an 11-year-old kid, really short, and now you're so big and you have a beard now. Like, you know, this man saw me grow up, and it was just from the 5, 10, 15 minutes that I would go to a store and get a bacon, egg, and cheese, or get a pastrami on a hero, and get a chopped cheese. You know, like,
chopped
cheese.
Yeah, facts, bro. Chopped cheese.
But, you know, it's like, I'm grateful for those experiences because it's like it exposes so much, especially going to the college that you and I went to.
Yeah, City College. Shout out
to you're exposed to a lot of culture. You're exposed to
word.
Exposed to everything. And I feel like I'm so grateful for that. And that in turn makes you, I feel like, to have a much open view about the world and the issues that are in it. And also it makes you much more empathetic. Because I feel like, honestly, once you begin to at least step away from your own views and realize, you know what? Let me see how this person's feeling from what's going on. Let me put myself in their shoes and really see and really feel their feelings.
Right.
Because I feel like with this, the culture here, it's very individualistic. You're meant to only think about you and your end. So it doesn't really hurt you until it's happening to you.
Right.
But essentially that's where I want to end it with my end and stuff. You know, it's a lot. Honestly, I can go on for hours.
Me too.
I'm very passionate just about everything that's going on with the world and support of everything with anybody really just going through everything.
Right.
I'm really appreciative of being able to have a platform just like this that really, really creates an experience. I feel like one is two Latino men, that's two Afro-Latino men that...
You know the vibes.
You know, that really just, you know, like...
You know the vibes.
I feel passionate about this, man. And it's like...
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm able to share with one beginning our closest friends and family. And people out there on our followers, you know, people, and hopefully begin to garner an audience where, you know what, where we can extend that genuineness, we can extend and have such a candid conversation with people, because that's really what we want this platform to be in a way, you know, like it's so fluid. It's like meanings, but it's almost like we want to be those people in your room that don't agree with what you're thinking.
Right. We want to help you. And also that's how you become more of a thoughtful person. Like if you believe something, right. And that's it. You just believe it. I don't care. And and someone challenges you and you're incapable of defending your belief, then maybe you shouldn't believe in that because you're not capable of defending it. Like, you know what I mean? So you need to have some sort of backlash towards your ideals to help you grow as a person, as a human being.
Yeah.
You know,
and we're also here for you to educate us too, because we don't
Facts. Because in the future, we're going to get some guests up in here.
Legit.
You know what I mean?
So I feel like this has been, I don't know, honestly, bro, like, I don't feel words could ever meet just like the
come on, man, don't be over emotional, bro. You're gonna make
like
me
the
cry,
passion
bro.
I feel, bro, to be part of this, to be part of this with you, just because it's like sometimes we kind of, I don't know, we're so like into our day-to-day lives and everything that we kind of just lose like the voice of ourselves, and to kind of really talk about this in such a safe space.
Facts.
And obviously this is what I feel like the essence of our podcast is, where we get to be so candid with each other and candid with the world, because people are going to hear this. So
yes, sir.
I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, man. I'm grateful. Thank you for being my boy.
Yo, legit, bro. wait, hold on. I forgot to take a picture, but I saw this ad, bro, real quick, sidebar. What happened?
Okay. Oh, no, you scared me.
Yo, it was this HBO Max ad where it said, you know, Rick and Morty, when they had this guy named Rick from some show. And then it had a guy named Rick. It's like, where Rick meets Rick from Rick and Morty. So it was where Rick meets Rick and then Reek from Game of Thrones. Rick meets Reek.
I think I did see that, actually. I think I saw one of those ads, but with what's the chick with the blonde hair?
Khaleesi
with something else.
My wifey, yeah.
Something, yeah.
Let's not even get into that Game of Thrones season 8 trash.
We gotta save that. We gotta put more content out. Come on, bro. We can't put everything on one podcast.
No, you right. I don't see that. That's how passionate we are. But you know what? I think if we don't wrap up, we're gonna go off for like another
or two. And it's been an absolute pleasure, guys. We'll catch up next week. This has been the Human Podcast.